This is Fresh Air. Sometimes when I get a really bad headache, I ask myself, is this headache as bad as Robert Urich's? Is it a real bangaroo? TV aspirin ads have always been designed to remind us how bad our really bad headaches are and how desperate we are for relief. Remember this classic?
What's the greatest cause of headache? It's tension. 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 When things go wrong, tension can build up and up. Suddenly, you've got a miserable headache. Nerves and muscles tighten. Stomach feels uneasy, queasy. You need Bufferin. Bufferin relieves headache, tight nerves, jittery stomach fast. Look, here's the most expensive aspirin in this combination of ingredients product and ordinary stomach acid. As you see, not much is happening. But instantly, you see Bufferin's pain relievers start into solution to fight your tension headache. And spreading quickly to calm your jittery stomach are tiny particles of Bufferin with dialminate. Only Bufferin adds these stomach-soothing antacids to aspirin. Stomach calmed, nerves relaxed.
And Bufferin relieved my headache fast.
When stress and strain cause headache pain, take two Bufferin.
Aspirin ads may have changed since that Bufferin ad first appeared on TV in 1953, but the pain-killing ingredients in aspirin basically haven't changed since aspirin was invented nearly 100 years ago. Aspirin manufacturers are more or less selling the same product, so the ads themselves are critical in creating brand name loyalty. Competition has always been intense, but even aspirin manufacturers were probably getting stress headaches when new painkillers like Tylenol, Nuprin, and Advil entered the market. My guest, Mark Plummer, is the co-author of The Aspirin Wars, Money, Medicine, and 100 Years of Rampant Competition. He told me why aspirin offers such a good case study of advertising.
Aspirin is a very simple product. It's basically a chemical with some starch surrounding it to form into a tablet. It's sometimes mixed with a couple other chemicals like caffeine. And so if you've got several different people making it, they can't claim that their aspirin is a superior aspirin. And so what it boils down to is several companies are making pretty much an identical product. And so in order to gain an edge, they've got to be a little creative in their marketing.
Now, Excedrin has claimed in one advertising campaign, 50% stronger for headache pain. What does that mean?
Well, that's actually, to be honest, that's a fairly old ad in the days when most aspirin tablets or aspirin-based tablets were 325 milligrams, what people would call a regular strength tablet. In the 60s and 70s, some of the companies started making extra strength versions. That is, they had more aspirin in them. And so when they presented Excedrin, they said 50% stronger. What they were really saying, or what they really meant, was it's a bigger tablet. It's got more aspirin in it.
But watching the commercial, you would have thought, oh, it's got a better painkiller.
Well, that's what you would have thought. Again, that's not what the company said.
Right.
And if you form the wrong impression, then that's not the company's fault. But that's really why aspirin advertising was so interesting. Very few companies tell blatant lies. Instead, they like to what Mark Twain would have called stretch the truth. And the history of aspirin advertising is really a history of how far companies have been able to stretch the truth and not get caught, or sometimes get caught.
Do you have a favorite example of a stretching the truth and not getting caught?
Probably the best visual example were the old Bufferin ads. Bufferin was introduced as basically a better aspirin, although again, they didn't mention they had aspirin in it. What they added were two buffering agents. Now, as I'm sure many of your older listeners will remember, they had the old A's and B's racing through the bloodstream, and they had a little mechanical man in some of their print ads, and the A's were plain old ordinary aspirin, the B's were Bufferin, and the B's raced ahead, getting to the stomach and opening up the little portals in the stomach that led to pain relief a lot faster than those ordinary old A's. And there, what they were saying is that Bufferin got into your bloodstream faster, a statement which is in fact true. What they've never been able to prove to the Food and Drug Administration is that getting into the bloodstream faster, in fact, gets rid of your headache faster. And so here's a stretcher where, again, you, the viewer of the commercial, were left with an impression which was not stated explicitly in the commercial but could be easily gotten from the commercial.
So what are the buffers in Bufferin?
Basically, they are just antacid ingredients that are in the usual sorts of stomach upset remedies.
And is that a help in easing the irritation that aspirin can cause?
It is, in the sense that a Bufferin tablet versus an ordinary aspirin tablet taken on an empty stomach will be a little bit easier on your stomach in many people. Notice how many times I've qualified that. But you can get the same sort of Bufferin action by taking your aspirin with a large glass of water, or taking it when you have a full stomach rather than an empty stomach. So again, the claim easier on your stomach, strictly speaking, is true, but what they don't say is that there are other simple ways of getting the same effect.
If you're just joining us, Mark Plummer is my guest. He's the co-author of the book The Aspirin Wars, Money, Medicine, and 100 Years of Rampant Competition. He's also a former economist with the Federal Trade Commission. I'm going to take a short break and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Mark Plummer is my guest, co-author of the new book, The Aspirin Wars. After years of aspirin wars in which a lot of companies competed by making big claims about how their aspirin was different from the other aspirin, there were new painkillers that came on the market over-the-counter that kind of really changed the nature of the battle altogether. And I'm thinking of ibuprofen, which is the main ingredient in things like Neupirin and Advil, and acetaminophen, which is the main ingredient in things like Tylenol. That completely changed the nature of the advertising, didn't it?
These new drugs changed both the nature of advertising and they changed the nature of the market itself. The product Tylenol has been with us since 1955, when it was sold as a children's fever reducer. It was later mainly marketed as a pain reliever, fever reducer for people who are sensitive to aspirin. And so in essence, they were trying not to compete with aspirin. That changed in the 1970s when the people who made Tylenol decided to change the aspirin market into the analgesic market and say that acetaminophen in the form of Tylenol was as good as aspirin, with the memorable line, "You can't buy a more potent pain reliever without a prescription." And that suddenly made it the equal, and in some people's minds, again, the impression they were left with was perhaps the superior of aspirin. And suddenly it was aspirin versus Tylenol, later aspirin, Tylenol versus ibuprofen, such as Advil and Neupirin.
Now that we have three main categories of this type of over-the-counter painkiller, aspirin, ibuprofen, and acetaminophen, I'd really love it if you can explain in lay terms what the differences are between the three, and if there's any real difference in the effect it's going to have on your average headache.
Well, the uses of an analgesic are usually three. The first, as you said, is to relieve your headache, to relieve minor aches and pains. The second, as many people commonly take it for, is to relieve a fever. The last is a less common use to the ordinary consumer, which is to relieve inflammation. Arthritis sufferers take very large doses of aspirin or other drugs. So those three uses for pain, fevers, and inflammation are what most people take analgesics for. Aspirin and ibuprofen can do all three: relieve pain, relieve fever, and relieve inflammation. Acetaminophen can relieve pain and fever, but it has almost no effect on inflammation. Now, for the ordinary headache, for the ordinary fever, all three drugs are going to do about the same thing. Some people might be sensitive to aspirin, in which case they might switch to acetaminophen. But for the average person, the three drugs have virtually the same effect.
Now, I know you're not a doctor, but you've done a lot of research into the analgesics. How do you think someone should decide which one to take?
Well, by saying that all three pills will do the average person the same amount of good really doesn't mean that some people, as I said, might be more sensitive to aspirin or simply believe that one type of analgesic works better than others. An amusing thing is that when you give person a pill made only of starch, in about 33% of the people with headaches, their headaches will go away. And this is what researchers call a placebo effect. If you give someone something that they think is a medicine, sometimes it will have an effect. And so some people may simply believe, as my mother-in-law does, that Anacin is absolutely the best analgesic, and she'll take nothing else because nothing else works.
You point out that the 90s are a great time for tension headaches, that everybody's so beset with economic problems and so forth that, you know, there's more headaches and probably more use for painkillers. Is that affecting the kind of advertising campaigns we're seeing now?
Well, what we see now is a return to the old standards. The tension headache has been replaced by the stress headache. The notion that aspirin is a high-tech medicine, which the companies briefly flirted with in the late 80s when the news about aspirin and heart attacks came out, is completely gone now. In fact, whereas Bayer used to advertise heart attacks and aspirin, now they advertise that doctors use aspirin, not for heart attacks, but for relieving their headaches. And so the companies are back to the old standards, which is, we've got a great pain reliever.
So do you feel like you've walked away from your research a wiser consumer as well as a wiser reporter?
Well, I have to admit, I won't name the brand, but I take a particular brand of analgesic time after time. I know in the back of my head that all three are the same. But for whatever psychological reason, and I sort of am ashamed to admit it, I just find that I get faster, better relief from this one analgesic. Now, at the same time, I take another analgesic in other types of situations. So yes, I am a wiser consumer. I know the strengths and weaknesses of each. And so, in fact, I have a bottle of each type of analgesic, acetaminophen, ibuprofen, and aspirin, on my shelf. And I switch between them depending on the situation.
What do you use them each for?
Ibuprofen I take for my really tough headaches. Sometimes I get splitting headaches. I will take ibuprofen. Ibuprofen is a little bit special. It does have the power to relieve severe types of pain more effectively than aspirin or acetaminophen. It's very hard, though, to advertise that when you're talking about headache pain. And so what the companies that make ibuprofen have been resorted to do is to say that ibuprofen is better for your really tough headaches. Now, again, it's left up to you to form an impression of what really tough means, whether it's just those bad headaches or really bad headaches. If I have an ordinary headache or an ordinary fever, I usually take aspirin. If I'm in any way worried about an upset stomach, I'll take acetaminophen.
Why not go for the ibuprofen even if you've got a moderate headache? Why go for the aspirin instead?
Well, ibuprofen is a more powerful drug, and so in some sense I'm searching, if however illogically, for the least amount of medicine for the condition.
One last question about aspirin. Do you use the cheaper generic kind, or do you go with a brand name?
Well, again, I'm sort of ashamed to admit it having done all this research, but in fact I use brand names. In part, it's a belief, at least on my part, that if you're going to have a bottle of aspirin around for a long period of time, one problem of generic cheap brands is that they tend to break down chemically a little bit faster than the branded products. And so if you were to open a bottle, an old bottle of aspirin, say, and get a slight vinegary smell, that's a strong indication that aspirin is breaking down and, in fact, will be less effective and more irritating.
That's interesting. Okay, well, I wish you pain relief and not many headaches. Thank you very much for sharing some of your research with us.
Thank you, Terry.
Mark Plummer is co-author of The Aspirin Wars, Money, Medicine, and 100 Years of Rampant Competition. This is Fresh Air.